It is good to see most of you. I know it feels a little empty in here, but you have to understand, the Corbins are gone and the Russells are gone, so we're missing 30, okay? That's just part of it, okay? You know, between the two of them, that's half our congregation size back then with 3 kids now. So, you know, that's how it works. That's not really true. You do need to know that last week there was 140 of us here, and there were 80 out here and 60 back there. It's just the way it is, all right? We got kids everywhere. Want to give some props. This is an applause here for 2 reasons. One, I need to share with you that we have brought a national championship home, all right? He's going to hate me for this. But Cameron won the ACDA, American Choral Directors Association, the Collegiate Choir Director Competition nationally. So that is good. And I am just super off. And I was going to brag on the men's ministry. We have gone for now 5 weeks. We've had this men's ministry going. We've had anywhere from 14 to 22 men come in, have breakfast, unloaded and loaded a young lady out of her home, her and her husband, had them out and in before noon after we had breakfast on the Saturday. It was unbelievable. Yesterday, this is no joke, we moved 1.5 tons, not pounds, not 100, tons of garbage out of the church yesterday. Listen to me. 1.5 tons of stuff. Yeah, what was it? Exactly. I don't know what it was, but it filled 3.5 trucks. And a lot of it was in your Sunday school room. It didn't look like that much, but I promise it felt like it. Every guy's looking up here going, "You didn't do anything." But we are blessed, all right? Cameron is making his way through a lot of the music that we had there, and he's going to bring a friend down. We had another music minister come look at the music that we have back there. Just good things, good things. Miss Pat walked in this morning. She goes, "Oh!" That's all she could say. Like there's space. It's amazing. What happens when you remove the junk? Can I just share with you that happens in your heart too? It's amazing how you feel when you remove the junk, when you get rid of the trash in your life and give yourself some space to let God move in and do His thing. This morning, I want to back up just for a second. Jesus is on the mountainside. He begins teaching. And he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." All right? We've covered that. We've talked about what our attitude should be, like the attitude of Christ Jesus. It's not the humility that the world talks about. It's a humility knowing that we are truly nothing without God. It's not just about singing it or wearing a shirt over it. It's that attitude of understanding who we are and our depravity without Him. And then blessed are those who mourn. We talked about what it was like to lose, to mourn, to feel loss, okay? And we moved that into God's calling on our hearts to really be the kind of people who are emotionally affected, who are attitudinally moved by people who are lost, by people who don't know Jesus, that we literally see people on the street, people who we work with, people who we shop from, people who we love, and our hearts break because they don't have what we have. Blessed are those who get to that point, who mourn. All right? And then, blessed are the meek. Not the weak. Completely different. Not blessed are the weak. Blessed are the meek. Those who have a humility and an attitude And of, these are the people who, when they open their mouth, it is calm, it is cool, it is collected. And when they speak, you just want to listen. These are the people who have arguments with someone and you don't believe they're arguing at all. They're simply speaking in. All right? And then we get to blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the tone changes. The first three are kind of down, all right? Lord, poor in spirit, meek. And then we get, now blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who go, I want what this guy's blowing my direction, okay? I want whatever is in his eyes. I want whatever it is that he has that we cannot explain, that rules don't encapsulate, that explosion from within him. He is the Father and the Father is in him. And he knows God. He is God. He understands God. And the people just yearn for it, all right? As the deer pants for the water of my soul, longs for you, okay? What we get after that is three descriptors. Yes, my cup runneth over apparently. Three descriptors of what it looks like when a person hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Okay, we talked about that. It's almost as if Jesus gave 3 points, talked about something, gave 3 more points, all right, to go back to it. Almost like he planned this. Okay? And then we got, blessed are the merciful. We talked about what grace, mercy looked like, what the difference was, how God can fill us. And we had a break last week. And today, we are on a very simple verse. But it is complex in its simplicity. And it's this verse right here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Okay? Now, by definition, and let me use 2 new words, literary words that most of you, some of you will know. By denotation and connotation, by the actual definition versus what we perceive the definition to be, all right? This verse takes on a lot of different directions, okay? You can immediately ask a lot of questions. And I want to look toward not which one specifically they would be, but how perhaps all of them can teach us what God is trying to say, okay? I want to look at the dictionary first, all right? Actual dictionary definitions of 2 words, the word pure and the word see. So let's have a look. They're going to be up here. First is pure, all right? Here are some definitions straight from the Oxford Dictionary, all right? I have just pulled out all of the apostrophes and all of the things in there, the pronunciations, all that. Okay, pure, not mixed with or adulterated by any other substance or material. So there's nothing that doesn't belong in it, okay? Without any extraneous or unnecessary elements. It doesn't have any additions to it, okay? Free, oh, this is a good one. Free from contamination, all right? It is not in a place where something from the outside affects it, all right? That can help us, okay? Perfectly in tune. This is musical. If there's a pure voice or a pure sound, perfectly in tune and with a clear tone, there is no wavering above or wavering below, and there isn't anything mixed in, again, wholesome or untainted by immorality, this would be more of a spiritual definition, okay? Pure can mean all of these things, all right? I want you to think. I want you to look right up here now. You're not even going to need my help. I want you to look up here, and I want you to think about your heart. As I read through these again, my heart is not mixed with or adulterated by another substance. My heart doesn't have any extra or unnecessary elements. My heart is free. My spirit is free from contamination, perfectly in tune with the Lord, wholesome and untainted by any sense of immorality. Okay? Now let's look at the word see. We're going to come back to all this, but let's get our definitions lined out. The word see. Okay. To perceive with the eyes. This is what we all get, okay? I see something, okay? I see a microphone. Okay? I'm discerning visually that this is a microphone, okay? That is what we understand. But there's way more, alright? To be or become aware of something. Somebody tells a joke. Somebody says, I don't get it. You explain it to them and they go, oh, I see, that's it, I see. You didn't just pick it up with your eyes, you grasped it, or deduced it, or understood it. You also say, I called to schedule a meeting with the doctor, but you come back to the office and you say, I see or I saw a doc yesterday. I'm going to see the doctor. That doesn't mean you're going to walk in, perceive him visually, and walk out. What you mean by that is you're going to have a consultation, a meeting with, an interview with him, okay? If I saw X yesterday, or I'm going to see the dentist tomorrow, then you're going to have a time with him, have a conversation with him, have a meeting with him, or commune with them, okay? All of these are possibilities for what God is trying to say to us. Let me now set up the context which he is speaking in. Okay? We've got definitions. Now we need context. Jewish people who are under the rule, okay, in the world's time of an innumerable army. An unfathomably powerful individual in Caesar. Okay? Rome was... Their power could not be measured, really, in earthly terms. They were wiping out people in a way that we don't even could conceive. And even the Jews couldn't conceive it, even though probably back in David's time, he was doing that to the nations around him. They were powerful, and they were in control, and every aspect of people's lives were controlled by them. On top of that, their religious ideas, their religious identities were given to them by the religious leaders, okay, the Pharisees. Their living arrangements and the way their lives were ordered were dictated by the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests and the chief priests. And this consisted of a list of rules. Okay? This consisted of the do's and the don'ts. It really did. This consisted of how you appear to be. And I know this, A, because of historical context, and B, because of how Jesus spoke about the religious leaders. Woe to you! You whitewash the outside, but the inside is still dirty. Woe to you! We talked about this 2 weeks ago. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, cumin, but you don't focus in on justice, mercy, faithfulness. You will worry about the gnat and swallow the camel. You look at the speck of dust in your neighbor's eye, but you don't worry about the plank in your own eye. You are worried about this great many things and obeying these great many laws, and it's not about the exterior. It's about the interior. So Jesus is speaking a contradiction into the people. You have to understand that. This is running protagonist to the current teaching. All right? And he goes for the first time at their heart. Now, in the New Testament age of understanding, the heart, or the phronai, okay? We've talked about this before when we've talked about the word aphron or fool, okay? Phron is part of phronai, which means heart or center, and ah means none or no. So calling someone a fool meant they were of no heart or heartless or without a spirit. You have no, you're almost not human. You're a body, but no soul, okay? So Jesus is right now taking on the soul, the center, all of who you are. And he says, really, guys, it's not about the things that you do. All right? It's not about these between what we call faith and works, between who we are in our heart and how we act. And the Bible is clear about a few things, but in its clarity, it's unclear. It says, faith without works is dead, all right? But it is by grace you are saved through faith, not by works, okay? So, wait. You just said in a message that it is not my actions that matter, it is my heart that matters. Yes, that is exactly what I said. But don't my actions matter? Yes, they do. But they are not aligned. Let me explain. If I say I am sick, okay, does that mean I have the flu? If I say I'm sick, does it mean I have the flu? No. Could I have the measles? Mumps? Cancer? Yes. If I say I have the flu, does that mean I am sick? Yes. One is the other, but the other is not necessarily the one. Okay? Let me do it a different way. This came to me this morning. Let me see if this helps you. Because I've never used this analogy, okay? But I think it's good. I wish I could play it out. I can't, but one day for youth or for you or for a Bible study, I will. Let's assume that we have two die or dice. How many sides do dice have? Six. And what numbers are on the dice? 1 through 6. Okay? So far we're good. Two dice. Dice have 1 through 6, okay? I change one of the dice so that all 6 sides have the number 2. I change the dice so that all 6 sides have the number 2. If I roll that dice, what's it going to land on? How many times? Every time. Every time it's going to land on 2. If I roll this dice, is it going to land on 2?
No.
Maybe. Let's talk about, but if I roll them both, is there a chance that I'll get 2 twos? There's a chance, but one of them has been changed by a bigger power. Oh! And because it has been changed, it reacts accordingly. If the number 2 is good works, and God changes you, then you will respond with the number 2. That doesn't mean that somebody who is not changed by Jesus cannot do good works. You could roll the dice, and sometimes you get 2. You can't explain that away. There are people who are unsaved, who do good things, who give good money, who make a difference. But those who have Christ ought to come up to every time. And the only way that's possible is if they are changed by Jesus. Don't throw away the fact that goodness can be done by others. Righteousness can occur in others, but it's not permanent. Okay? I hope that makes sense. You can be sick and not have the flu. But you can't have the flu and not be sick. You can't have Jesus. You can't have Jesus. And allow Him to completely change you. And then believe that you're going to not come up to every time unless you take control again. Unless you change the sides of the dice. Have I clarified that? Now, Jesus is concerned about changing the heart so that the actions follow. What He does is He gleans back to 2 chapters in the Psalms. Chapter 24, Psalm 24, and Psalm 51. Okay? Here's what those say. You've heard them before. All right? Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? It's a song. Only he who has clean hands and a pure heart. There's a song. Give us clean hands. Give us pure heart. Let us not. Yeah. That's where that comes from, okay? So Jesus is hearkening. What a word. All right, back to that song when he says, only the pure of heart will be able to see God. He also goes back to Psalm 51. Create in me a what? Clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. All right, why? David is crying out. Why? Because he is not feeling, not experiencing, not meeting with God in a way that he wants to be. And he recognizes that it's not because God ran away. It's not because God left him alone. He recognizes that the problem is not with God. The problem is with him. The problem is with his ability to receive what God is pouring out. And we've talked about this before when we talked about mercy, when we talked about forgiveness. It's amazing what Jesus does here. 2 weeks ago, we said it is hard to understand forgiveness if you don't forgive. It is hard to receive mercy if you're not one who shows mercy. Why? Because you don't recognize it. And that's exactly what begins to happen here. David realizes that he's out of tune, that he's off key, that his heart is impure. And he says, "Dear Jesus, wash me. Wash me white as snow. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me so that I might truly meet with you, perceive you, understand you." This is what God says, blessed, congratulations. Yes! Victory! Spiritual victory to you who have a pure heart. Why? Because you will see God. Well, some people want to take this right to the visual. Wait. You can't see God. Well, now, there are places in the Bible that say you cannot look upon God or you'll die. But there are places in the Bible that say if you do this, you'll get to see God. You'll be apart from God. We know that we saw where God was, but not necessarily God in the Old Testament. Now, we're being told that we can see Him, or on that day, we will see Him face to face. So which is it? Can we see God? Can we not see God? Depends on your definition of see. Everybody that day was looking at Jesus now, weren't they? Do we believe that Jesus and God are the same? Do we believe in the Trinity? So in a way, they were seeing God. Do we think that God shows up every Sunday? I don't know. The Bible says where two or more gathered, what? There will I be also. You seen God lately? Now, is that because He's not here? Or because you can't see? Now, why is it, according to the Scripture, can't you see? Uh-oh. What's the problem? We're not missing God because He's not around. We're not missing God because we don't have the right people singing. We're not missing God because the little bald-headed preacher. We're not missing God because we're not in counseling for the right number of days. We're not missing God because we're not giving enough money. We're missing God because our hearts aren't built, restored, renewed enough to recognize Him. It's the same old thing. You ever gone car shopping? Find a car you like? You see a car on TV and you decide that you like it? And then everywhere you go, in every road you're on, in every parking lot you look at, what do you see? That car. Every time. It happens, doesn't it? The same thing happens with righteousness. The same thing happens with love and mercy and forgiveness and purity of heart. When you get rid of the impurities, when you get rid of that which distracts and detracts, and when you fill yourself with God's Spirit and His righteousness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and wisdom and encouragement that flows from you, when those things walk down the street, you just know. You just see them. You just experience them. So blessed, victory, congratulations to those who find purity in their soul. Why? Because they get to meet with, to sup with, to gather with, to see God. Last thing. Is this passage talking about those who get to heaven and those who do not? Because that's sometimes what the equation works out to. If you are pure in heart, then you will get to see God, meaning you will get to go to heaven. The answer is yes and no. The answer is both. Let me explain. Having a pure and unadulterated heart in and of itself is not the gateway to heaven. It's not. It cannot be. Okay? Because there is only one way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father but by me. So again, it's like the dice. You can have a purity of your spirit and have a more pure spirit than some, but without Jesus, you can't have a completely pure spirit. You're missing something. Okay? So, it is Jesus and a relationship with Him and an acknowledgement that His death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave, and it's only Him that can save you, that gets you into heaven and allows you to see God. When He does come in, what does He do to your heart? He purifies your heart. He wipes away your sins. So in a way, it is those who are pure in heart who get to go to heaven. But that is not the way to heaven. You can't just go, okay, here's what I want to do. I'm going to live my life in such a way that the teachings of Jesus will cause me to act out accordingly. And because I am that pure, I get in. It doesn't work. But again, purified by the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses you from all sin, that washes us white as snow, the blood of the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. That gets you into the kingdom of God and will allow you to see Him. But cleaning our heart out will allow us to have, like some of you had earlier, maybe several times this morning, an aha moment. My goal for the next few minutes is for you to have an aha moment. I see. And then for you to catch yourself going, I said see. Darn that little preacher. I see. Jesus was right. Never come as a surprise to us. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So how do we see God today? Well, hopefully we've seen Him because He's presented. But hopefully we've seen Him because His word was well taught. Hopefully we've seen Him because His songs were well sung. But more than anything for each one of us, it's about the purity of our spirit. So what I will ask you to do now is run your heart through a filter. Run your heart through the filter of the Holy Spirit and ask Him, what is in my center? What is in my core? What is in my heart that is impurifying, that is tainting, that is messing with my pure heart and my pure spirit? Okay? And whatever it is, come lay it at His feet. Come kneel and talk to Him about it. Come hand it off and walk back to your pew clean. Make this your prayer right here at this altar while we sing and continue our worship together. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift a soul to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Empty and refilled this morning, so that you might seek and find the face of God. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. These things I ask this morning of you. Blessed, joyful, victorious are the pure in heart, because they get to see God.